everyone. It's your host, Polly Siegel. And for anyone who doesn't know me, I'm a licensed clinical social worker, certified addiction specialist, and master level trained mindfulness practitioner. I own a counseling practice in both Colorado and Illinois, and I specialize in trauma, OCD, and anxiety. If you live in either of those two states, feel free to reach out to me for a consultation and we can begin the therapeutic journey together. Now on to the good shit. Welcome to season 3 of Shit Talking Shrinks. Gosh, I'm so excited. I will be featuring experts in the healing space, and we're discussing a variety of mental health topics, the human experience, and society at large, while creating levity along the way. Get ready to laugh, learn a lot, and change your life for good. Today, we're going to be talking about new parents and the journey and the transition of becoming a first-time parent. There's so much there, and we won't be able to cover it all, but I want to at least really speak to any listener who has become a parent for the first time and is in this transition, and of course, doing the very best that they can, but also wanting to speak to all of the different aspects of this transition and really focus on like what are good tools that will help parents at least survive this phase. And I really want this episode to be dedicated to Hannah and Sam Orlove. Love you both. Hello, everyone, for another fabulous episode of Shit Talking Shrinks. I have an awesome guest today that I am really excited to chat with, and I want to do a formal introduction before we get into all of your magic. Today, I have Kate King, who is a Radiant Life coach, board-certified art therapist, and is the author of The Radiant Life Project, which, by the way, I love the cover of your book. It's like so captivating. It just reels me in.
Thank you. I like it too. It's so colorful.
Colorful. It's like a sunset. Was that the theme, the color scheme?
Yep.
Love it. Okay. Well, thank you, Kate, for joining me. And it's funny, everyone, because Kate has a practice in Colorado. I used to live in Colorado for 12 years, and her and I paths never crossed, except finally they have. So I'm just so excited that we are neighbors. But today we're going to be talking about motherhood, but early first-time mothers, the transition of being childless to then being...
having your life be consumed and taken over by a tiny being.
Yeah. I am not a parent, but I have had very, very close friends enter this new stage where they went from, you know, just being vibrant in their 30s. And I don't want to say they're not vibrant anymore, but it's this massive transition of being a first-time parent, and they're in it. They're in the thick of it right now. And I just felt like it was only right to dedicate an episode to these people, to my homies that are in this, and to also, you know, thousands of listeners that are also in it.
I'm all for it. I think the plunge into parenthood is, I mean, it's real. And so few honest conversations are had beforehand. And so I think there is a huge process of disillusionment that happens, disenchantment, where you're like, oh, this is not what I thought it was going to be. Maybe this is way worse. Maybe I'm even questioning the decision to do this at all, interspersed with little moments of like, oh, this is okay. And maybe this was worth it. And it's just kind of a mind warp, honestly.
Absolutely. What's come up for me as the best friend who I'm observing, you know, my tribe go through this, is I didn't realize how many things could go wrong. And I know that that sounds really stupid to say, but like whether it's feeding issues, whether it's sleep issues, whether it's my best friend's, you know, bringing her baby to the chiropractor because his body is so tense, like, I never thought about their muscular structure and that there could be issues with that. Like, I should have thought of that, but I didn't. And it just seems like there's so many areas where things can go wrong. And I'm curious your thoughts on that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know who said this, but someone wise said that having a child is like having your heart walk around outside of your body. And it feels like that, I think, as a mom, and especially as a new mom, where you're like incredibly responsible for this really fragile, really dependent, tiny little being. And there's a ton of pressure that comes along with that. And then there's this really kind of confusing narrative that I think a lot of moms tell ourselves, that people have been having babies for as long as there have been people. So it shouldn't be that hard, and nature should take care of us in some way, right? And so then when a mom has trouble with breastfeeding, or if their baby's not sleeping, or if there is a skeletomuscular issue in the 3-month old, you're like, wait, nature, you were supposed to be taking care of this for me. We're supposed to be doing this, you know, for centuries. Why am I having problems with something so basic as feeding or sleeping? And I think that's really what feels so confusing. And let alone the fact that as a mom, especially a first-time mom, you're in territory that you've never been in before. You've never really had to work on taking care of anybody else's survival but your own. And you've got that one pretty well dialed. And suddenly there's this entire new being who has their own sets of needs and desires and their own temperament. And it's a lot. Then you factor in the hormonal changes. You factor in all the narratives from society, from your family. You've got your mother-in-law wanting to hold the baby when really you just want her to wash the dishes and make you a meal. And there's just a lot going on. And so I think that, yeah, it's great that we have baby chiropractors and sleep specialists. And sometimes I think it makes it easier to have a ton of resources. And sometimes it makes it harder, because sometimes there's that paradox of the more choices you have, the more knowledge you have, the harder things feel. And we're in a world right now where right at our fingertips on our phones is like every resource that you could ever imagine for everything. And I think that can be really paralyzing for new moms, while also being supportive. Because if you can help your baby by taking them to a chiropractor, yay, awesome. But if we didn't know that such a thing existed, then maybe a mom would eventually figure out, you know, how to stretch their baby and how to, you know, help them move. And so I think that it's kind of like one of those finger traps, you know, or sometimes you have too much knowledge and then you get kind of stuck. I think new moms are just in a really crazy world right now to be so resourced and yet feel so powerless at the same time.
Yeah, that's actually a really fascinating point, because previous generations having their first child, they didn't have access to everything at their fingertips. They didn't have the ability to look up all these answers and to have access to all these social media accounts with different people, with different specialties, with different ideas, with different opinions. The sheer access to knowledge in theory sounds amazing. And I even hear, you know, my mom or other boomer parents be like, I wish I had all of that at my fingertips. But you're saying it comes at a cost. Will you expand on that? Walk me through, as much as it is helpful, it's also leading to paralysis and overstimuli.
Yeah, I think so. There have been a lot of studies done about how the more choices and options we have, the less easily we're able to choose. And this is on, you know, just sort of a psychological level broadly that includes motherhood, but it also expands beyond it. And so when a mom is completely committed to taking care of this new baby that they've just wrapped their entire life around, they've just spent 9+ months growing inside their own body, it's a commitment that is brand new. You've never felt something like that before, because you've never had a relationship like this before. And just the magnitude and the gravity of that responsibility and that love, it's so imbalancing, because it's stronger than anything you've ever felt, but it's also at the expense of yourself in a way that no other relationship has probably ever been before. And so I think that makes a mom want to do a really good job and be a really good mom. And there's all of this research now that we understand early attachment, we understand brain development, we understand so much that it can also feel like a lot of pressure to do a really good job and be the best mom ever. Because equal to how we know now how to take good care of our babies, we also know a lot about how we can mess them up. That's really terrifying, right? So, and some of those things you can't help. You're going to put your kid in the car seat one day and accidentally smack their head on the side of your car. It's just going to happen. Like, it happens to every parent, you know, or you might drop your baby. They might roll off the changing table. We know it's not good for babies, but it's also reality, and it happens sometimes. And so sometimes when you know so much and you have all of this knowledge, it creates this extra pressure and it creates this extra stress that ends up working against new moms, because then their body is flooded with stress hormones. They're not really able to be in the moment. They don't know what to choose. They're not really with their baby in a way that they would be if they were less worried.
I hear what you're saying, and my brain is going a mile a minute synthesizing it, because you're right. We have so much data and research that tells us from all the past generations what not to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or what you need to do, because if you don't do it, ah, right? Like, you have to. There's like urgency to it. And I even think about, you know, secure attachment. Like, that's been the huge wave, I think, with millennial parents, is like, I need to produce or create a securely attached child so that then they can have securely attached romantic relationships and they'll be okay. Right? In the 90s, the 80s and the 90s, our parents weren't thinking about insecure attachment, avoidant attachment. Like, they were just like, I don't know what the fuck they were doing, but they were doing.
They were holding on for dear life, just like we are. They were just doing it with less research, you know? And I used to say that as a therapist, I knew all of this stuff and I knew too much, but like the rest of the world didn't know it yet. My oldest kiddo is almost 11 now. And a decade ago, we really weren't on social media like this, talking about stuff like this. And so I used to feel like, oh, shoot, I know too much. And now parenting is harder because of it. But now everyone knows too much and parenting is harder because of it. It's not just the therapists and the mental health professionals among us. Now, you can be a lay person who's just on Instagram and suddenly you're like, what's secure attachment and am I doing it right? And it's just another thing to worry about as a mom when you already have a lot on your plate.
Right. So, Kate, would you say that because we know what not to do and we have an abundance of information, new moms or really millennial moms are paralyzed with anxiety?
Absolutely. And then you have these moms who are really well-intentioned and they're doing all the right things. Like, their baby toys are organic and they're made out of wood and everything's biodegradable and nothing's going to cause a sensitivity. But then you have these moms who are so anxious and so hypervigilant that that actually has an effect on the child, right? Like, that's affecting the connection. That's affecting the attunement. The bond is built on anxiety. And we know through epigenetics now that an anxious mom is more likely to make an anxious baby. And so you're doing everything right, but yet you're still imperfect, because guess what? You're a human being, and do everything right, but also expect that at the end of the day, you're not going to do everything perfectly. Your baby's going to have issues. They're going to grow into an adult who might be sitting on somebody's couch someday, getting therapy for whatever you did wrong. But I think the best thing we can do for our kids is to block them from the things that we've learned, so that whatever they're dealing with is something new. They're going to have their own issues, but let it not be the same issues we had.
Well, and I also think, to add to what you just said, is creating acceptance that your child will be on a couch talking about you at some point. It's going to happen. You can't prevent it. There's no way around it. And even the things that you thought you did great, you're going to find out it had some sort of negative impact on how the child perceived it at the time, how they internalized it, the impact of it. I mean, it's funny, as a clinician, right? I get to be on the other side of the computer and hear, you know, my mom, she did everything for me. She blocked and tackled for me. She was at every game, but...
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, God, I feel for parents, because the intent, not for every parent, but for the good ones out there, they want so wholeheartedly to do it right, and they're still going to fuck up.
Totally. Yeah, there's no perfectionism in parenting. And there's also a ton of pressure for perfectionism in parenting. And that's another paradox, right? Where millennials are so much more likely to seek therapy, right? This is something that's incredible about that generation, is they're very thoughtful about their own self-reflection, about their own trauma healing. So they're eager to go to therapy themselves, heal their own trauma, but at the same time terrified their children might need therapy because they might have made a mistake as a mother. You know, I keep using this word paradox, because in parenting, there is so much paradox. And especially in a culture like ours, where we have all of the resources at the tips of our fingers and all kinds of societal and familial pressures coming towards us, I think it just really creates this big stew for a new parent that it's like, it's this impossible love, really. And there isn't a way to figure it out. and you have to just find your own rhythm. And I think we can get in the way of finding our own rhythms when we're so busy looking on Instagram for other people's advice and other people's rhythms that have worked for them.
So would you advise folks to be cautious of how much they're taking in?
I would, absolutely. I think, you know, we talk a lot about this with the, you know, fake news and the political stuff that's been flying around the last several years. It's like, be careful what you ingest, because you're exposing yourself to the media and to social media and to all this, you know, web of the internet. And I think that applies to parenthood too. And I think there's a lot of experts out there who are amazing and have incredible tools, incredible resources. And I think there are more snake oil salesmen that aren't really trained, aren't really qualified, might be speaking from their experience, but not from the data and not from a place of, you know, credentialing that really got them to the knowledge of, you know, being able to talk about the topics that they're talking about. So I encourage people to be discerning with what they learn from the internet and make sure that they're getting it from a credible resource. And then within the pool of credible people that they have been attracted to, be even more discerning and find people who speak to you, to your authentic rhythm, to who you truly are, not to someone you're aspiring to be or someone who reminds you of somebody else, but really you. And then it might narrow down to maybe, you know, 3 to 5 people who might have some tips and tricks. You don't have to follow them exactly, but take a little here, leave a little there, and create your own synergy of what works for you.
I want to take a quick pause to talk about our sponsor, a company called BetterHelp. It's an online therapy platform where all the therapists are licensed and accredited professionals. It's affordable. You pay a low flat fee for therapy with your therapist, and it's convenient. Do it at your own time and at your own pace, and you can communicate with your therapist as much as you want and whenever you feel is needed. And more importantly, it's effective. Thousands of people have benefited from therapy using BetterHelp, and we're really grateful to offer all of our listeners 10% off your first month. So if you're interested in receiving therapy ASAP, click the link in our show notes and you can get started. And you get to save money. When you say create your authentic rhythm as a new parent, new mom, new dad, walk us through, like, what does that mean?
Yeah. So there is no one size fits all approach for parenting or for what makes a healthy baby. And a really good example of this might be schedule. So there are some parents who are very scheduled. Nap time is here. We eat here. We snack there. We play here. We do tummy time for X amount of minutes a day. And then there are other parents who are like, I'm just going to put my baby to sleep when they start crying and see if it works. And if they're hungry, I might offer them a thing and I don't care what time it is. And both of those extremes and everything in between is fine as long as it feels okay to the family system. It's not really kind or helpful or thoughtful to judge someone who's doing things differently just because it would dysregulate your nervous system. Because if you look at their family system and they're all doing pretty well, they're all really regulated, then it's working for them. They found their rhythm. Their rhythm might not need any structure, where your rhythm might need extreme structure. And it really does come down to the regulation of the nervous system of the family and what works for you, what gets mom and dad the sleep that they need and, you know, the feeling of connection that they require and the food in their own bellies so that they can take care of their babies. I think that would be one example of what that rhythm looks like. Another example of it is, how do you, you know, have the balance of going to work versus staying home? And how do you bring in family members to help or have a community of help? I think that you have to find what fills you as a parent and what nurtures you so that you can be the healthiest version of the adult who's responsible for taking care of this little thing that's just like a sponge and it's going to soak up whatever you are. So if you're anxious and stressed because you're trying to, you know, stick with a schedule that somebody told you is important but doesn't really resonate with you, then that stress is going to pass down to your baby and they would benefit from you throwing the schedule out the window and doing what makes you feel grounded and centered.
What I think is so important in what you said is that it's being in tune with your own nervous system. Because as we know, you and I are both clinicians, we know that when a mom is dysregulated, that is energetically felt by a baby, right? Because parents are supposed to co-regulate with their child. And that emotional attunement is imperative, right? So that the baby learns how to regulate its own nervous system as it develops through time. And so what's interesting is that, like, if you're showing up as a mom completely out of sorts, your nervous system is in, whether that's hyperarousal or hypoarousal, depending on where you're at, that's going to be felt by the baby. But if you're in a position where you're trying to adapt all of these opinions and suggestions, and that's actually causing the nervous system havoc, then it's a pause to go, wait a second, what matters more? Is it implementing this brand new structure that this top tier parenting guru has recommended? Or is it probably better for me to have a regulated system and do things a little bit more with fluidity? That's sort of how I'm understanding what you're saying. Am I tracking?
You are absolutely tracking. It's kind of a work of value systems and belief systems about what's most important in your life. And if it's a two-parent household, then those two parents get to work together, maybe for the first time in their relationship, around these family values and trying to have consistency between what matters. And it might be a time where they notice the contrast and what's not working. If one parent is highly structured and one parent is really loosey-goosey, the baby's going to feel like a yo-yo in between the two of them. And the parents are probably going to be driving each other bonkers, trying to find a stable baseline. And so there you go. That's the work for the parents, is trying to find the stable baseline. What I really love to teach parents about the nervous system is that it's really adaptable. And our nervous systems were built to be fluid. And so if you notice that you're in a state of anxiety or hyperarousal, that's awesome information. Let's get you regulated, right? You're not going to do any permanent damage just noticing that you've been anxious for a while. Where we get ourselves into trouble is when we avoid noticing that our nervous system is dysregulated and we get stuck in numbing behaviors or avoidance or denial. And then our nervous system gets locked into those states for a really long time and we get burned out. We end up having just different kinds of behaviors that trickle down to our babies that turn into elementary age kids that before you know it are high school kids and you've been in survival mode the whole time. It's really important for parents to know that whatever's going on is okay and it can be healed and it can be balanced. It just needs your awareness and your intention. So therapy is great for that. And communities are great for that. There's so many awesome parenting groups that are free. This is one thing that is great online. There's a lot of online forums and resources. So finding people who can support what you think will help you find that stable baseline inside of yourself, so that you can then relate to your baby with attunement, that's where the money is.
So if a new mom is listening right now and thinking, well, gosh, how do I know if my nervous system is either regulated or dysregulated? Walk us through what a new mom could be looking out for.
So this is complicated for new moms because the hormonal aspect is just off the wall, right? And depending where you are in terms of childbirth, nursing, going back onto birth control potentially, changing your diet potentially. A lot of people have to change their diet if the baby is having a reaction to nursing. Maybe there's an allergy coming through the milk. So there's just a lot changing with a new mom. And so I just want to normalize that. You know, if you feel a little bit all over the place, that's really normal and it makes sense. And so the first piece is just to let yourself have some grace, a lot of compassion, a lot of just love for yourself during this time of transition. But signs of a dysregulated nervous system, if you are feeling like you're going swinging up and down to the point where you don't even know where your baseline is, or if you're in a really low low, potentially even having thoughts about hurting yourself, hurting your baby, those would be signs to go to a doctor and start to talk about postpartum depression, because that's a very real thing. It's a very serious thing. And it also is very treatable. So postpartum depression has that low, low, low feeling, whereas baby blues is more of sort of a feeling of lostness or sadness, maybe a lot of fatigue, but it's not going to like really dark places. And maybe you're not living there all the time. You come in and out of it. That could be a hormonal shift that's balancing. So those are the low places. the high places of anxiety, of hypervigilance, those I would say are so extremely normal because of the overwhelm that we've talked about with all the shifting pieces. But your nervous system is probably dysregulated if you're having insomnia, even when your baby is sleeping, because this is a time of sleeplessness for parents for sure. But when your baby is sleeping and then you can't fall asleep, that means that you're ramped up to a point where you're not able to relax. So that would mean dysregulation. If you're noticing in your appetite that you are skipping meals, you're not feeling hungry, you're not taking care of your basic needs because you're so hyper-focused on your baby and you're constantly sort of scanning your environment, that would be a dysregulated nervous system. Having GI issues also can point you to a dysregulated nervous system. So those are sort of some of the red flags. Some of the green flags of a regulated nervous system would be if you feel like you're able to connect with people who are not just your baby, if you know, are chatting with the grocery store clerk or you're having conversations with your friends, if you feel like you have capacity for connection with your partner, if you're doing things for yourself, even if they're small, like journaling, or even if you're just holding your mug of tea in the morning and you're just enjoying that, that's a sign of regulation. I would say all the opposites of what the red flags are. So feeling like your digestion is moving well, feeling like your sleep is going well, your basic fundamentals are in place in terms of feeling awake in the morning, feeling sleepy at night, feeling like you have focus. Brain fog can definitely be a red flag. So feeling focused and clear in your mind is a green flag.
Yeah. And I think those are really tangible, which is what new moms need, right? They don't need abstract or wishy-washy. They need their black and white checklists. But, you know, also as I think about it, am I feeling safe and connected?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a really important question to ask yourself. Like, on average, am I feeling safe and connected? If the answer is yes, okay, that's indicative of a regulated nervous system. If the answer is no, I don't feel safe, or no, I don't feel connected, I'm sort of distractible and buzzy and all over the place and completely, you know, out of sorts, well then, okay, that might be a sign of dysregulation. It doesn't mean bad, wrong, you know, tisk, tisk. It's just an invitation to go, how do I start to regulate? Because ultimately, that gives you the opportunity to enjoy the process so much more. It's really hard to feel gratitude and to feel life satisfaction when we're dysregulated.
Totally. And our nervous system is wired to be constantly scanning for threats. I think our autonomic nervous system scans something like 4 times per second for threats. So when you use the word safety, sometimes that can be kind of confusing for a new mom because they're like, well, I'm in this warm house. I have food and water. There's no like robber banging down my door. I'm safe, but yet feeling so unstable and shaky, right? And so I think safety in terms of this kind of scenario might just look like that constant scanning for like, did I do everything? Are the bottles cleaned? Is my breast pump ready for me? Like just always feeling like you have to predict several steps ahead. That would be a sign that on some level, your nervous system isn't stable or grounded. It's not feeling calm. So just looking for little traces of peacefulness throughout the day and feeling centered and grounded, that's a sign that your nervous system feels safe. And it doesn't have to be all day long. You can have total fire drills like 6 times a day. And that's normal as a new mom. You find out your baby just like blew out their diaper and you just have to deal with that. Like, of course. And then you return to that baseline. And if you're having a hard time coming back to that baseline, you're right. It's just an invitation. It's just showing you one area of your life that needs a little attention. And it's not a huge deal. It's totally treatable.
It's not a reflection of your goodness as a mom. It's not a reflection of your moral character, of your capabilities, of your skill set. Like, that's where I want to be very careful in this conversation, that if you're sitting on the other side of this and you're like, oh my God, I am so dysregulated, no harm, no foul.
Yay, good. Good on you for noticing that. And now let's work together and let's find that rhythm for what helps you get regulated, right? And it might be so simple. It might be as simple as like, don't wear jeans, wear sweatpants, like make yourself comfortable, right? Because if you're comfortable in your body, you're more likely to be comfortable in your mind. You know, just little things like that. Or are you hydrated actually? Because that breast pump is draining every ounce of fluid from your body. So are you drinking extra? Little things like that go a long way. And they can feel like massive growth and massive help when it doesn't, you don't necessarily have to like take yourself to the therapist and process all your trauma and go back into your ancestral healing. Like it can just be the now. What do you need now? And how can you meet that need for yourself so that then you can meet your baby's needs?
And as we segue into the tangible tool section, we oftentimes think of regulating the nervous system or therapeutic journeying as this like lofty, daunting, gotta go deep process. And for a lot of people, that is necessary at some point. However, in early motherhood, maybe not the time. And so it's about getting to a place where you can get regulated with easy, easy skills that don't require that much. I had a conversation with a new mom and I said to her, I want you to think back to before you had Adrian. And I said, think about a time before then where you just felt like you were solely in your body and you were connected to your body. She's like, okay. And I'm like, okay, what were you doing? She was like, I was sitting in the sun and the sun was just beaming on my face. And I said, okay, can you and Adrian go outside and let the sun hit your face? She's like, yeah, actually it's Colorado, so we are going to get some sunny days ahead. And I'm like, awesome, right? Just even allowing the sun to hit your face for 5 minutes is regulating.
Yeah. And what you're looking for is that feeling of being in your body and feeling at peace and feeling like your breathing feels steady and you're in the moment and you're noticing the breeze and you're feeling the warmth. Those are all beautiful signs of regulation, and it doesn't take a lot and it's free.
I'm just bringing up maybe smaller things that someone might not think of when they think of regulation. I had another conversation with a new mom, asked the same question, and she was like, me and my husband used to jump on our trampoline and it was so fun and it was so silly, but we would just like laugh as we would jump and do tricks with each other. And I said, can you do that with him? She's like, yeah, I mean, I guess I could have my mom pop over for like an hour and watch the baby and I can go jump on the trampoline. I'm like, great. Getting that jumping is a great way to regulate the nervous system.
Yeah, jumping and shaking, moving, dancing. And also being silly and having laughter. Laughter is so cathartic. It can move energy through our body in such a beautiful way. Even if the energy is nervous or anxious, or if you're feeling that really heavy, sad, almost kind of depressed or lethargic weight, it can shake that up and move it through in a way that I think is really healing.
So start small. The question I'm offering, and then I'm going to refer back to Kate as to some tools that she would offer everyone. But ask yourself, like, what can I do that makes me feel safe and connected? It could be as much as jumping on a trampoline, getting sun on your face, drinking your favorite matcha, walking around the block, stretching, right? It doesn't have to be crazy to get regulated. We can do it in small ways. But what are your offerings to others?
So as an art therapist, I always like to offer creativity. And it doesn't have to be art. It can be writing. It can be music. It can be humming. It can be, you know, pulling out some Tupperware with your baby. Babies love playing with Tupperware. Spend all this money on these expensive toys, but really they just want Tupperware. You can drum on the Tupperware with your babies. Most of us have paper and pen and maybe even markers, maybe paints. Creating artwork is really regulating and soothing. It does not have to be something you frame. You can do it with your eyes closed or with your non-dominant hand to take off the pressure of trying to make something good or pretty. And just think of it as creating fluidity, expressing through color, through line, through shape. So I would definitely say just pulling that out. And you can even just go online and say, you know, easy art therapy exercises, and that'll give you a bunch of art therapy exercises if you want something that you can create that has direction. So certainly creating art. I would say movement of any kind is really important. And if your body is recovering and you do not feel like you can jump back into whatever your exercise routine was, just go for a walk. I love your idea about stretching too. I think it's really important just that we continue to move energy through the body because it can get stuck. And when we're tense or we have pain, it can really impact the nervous system and our mood. So having some form of movement to whatever capacity you have is perfect and beautiful. I think also aligned connection is really important. And that means not hanging out with the moms who you feel judged by, not asking a family member who is a know-it-all personality what you should do with your baby, but finding the people who feel like they're on your frequency, even if it's just at the playground, or if you take your kiddo to story time at your local library and there are other moms there, just see if you can find one or two people. And they don't have to be moms. It can be, you know, the local old man who's playing chess at the park. Just go sit and talk, because connection is so regulating, and we do co-regulate. Our nervous systems need each other. So having someone else to talk to than your baby is a really big deal. And also feeling seen, valued, heard by somebody else can be regulating as well. So those are some places to start.
Maybe taking a break from the baby talk. That's kind of also what I'm hearing, is like, if you were talking to the random guy who's playing chess, there's probably other topics you could cover and that could be meaningful. As you said in the beginning of this episode, we get so absorbed into baby, 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 baby. And it's like, that's so important. And it's important for you to have maybe fun, silly, stupid conversation that has nothing to do with parenting.
Totally. And remember that your baby changed you. Absolutely. When you birthed your baby, you rebirthed yourself as a mother. But also, there was a you that existed before the baby. And that you probably still lives inside of you in all kinds of ways. So reconnecting with that person too, and those interests that you had, and those thoughts that you thought, and the things that you like to learn about or listen to, you know, listening to a podcast that has nothing to do with mothering, or watching a really ridiculous show that is kind of dumb, but makes you laugh, right? Things like that are important. Just remembering that you're more than just a mom. You're still a person. You're still you.
Yeah, beautiful. If this was helpful, I hope that you'll pass it along to your other mom friends so that they can get a little taste of this magic. And I'm grateful for this conversation. So thank you.
I'm grateful to you. I hope it was helpful. May we all support each other in all the ways we can.
Sending every new parent love. We'll catch everyone later.